I think it's really been unclear to Americans where China is going for quite some time. I'm personally not what one calls a China watcher as such, as I'm sure you are. And the students, of course, from China are constantly in touch with people there. But we look at China, and I think that the general American public thought, well, here's a country that's coming around to capitalism. We're seeing McDonald's in Beijing, and we're seeing this slow revolution to our side of things. Apparently, that's not what's been going on in China.
Hey, you know that. After the 20 or 30 years, after the Korean War, the Chinese government is isolated themselves, of course, after the 1972, and when President Nixon, opened the door to China, everybody, American, to one catch this bus. But now the bus already cannot catch any longer. This bus will go the wrong way, wrong direction. The Communist China, I would tell you, the Communist China is one of the most crucial regime in this human civilization. Don't believe that. Listen to me. Don't believe that. They run a show. They run very well. They know how to do the United Front. They know how to cheat the people. And American, they are so nice. They don't know. They shook hands with you. They laughing face with you. They say you are a good friend. And I remember, the children. Prime Minister of Britain, he said one thing is very important. He said, there's no good communist or bad communist. They are the same. They are the evil. To me, they are the evil. See, they kill their own people. They cook the people. Students have nothing. They have no arms. They just bloodshed to them and kill them and while shooting them while they're laughing. What this society is.
I think, if anything, if there was a surprise in what happened this weekend, it was the level of the brutality that was shown. Not a case of walking through crowds with nightsticks, a case of driving through people barricades in tanks and armored personnel carriers and indiscriminate firing of automatic weapons. Why?
Well, I think basically this is a regime that's lost its handle. If I could put it in a little historical perspective, we're 40 years from the communist takeover, 1949-1989. In the first few decades, the communists had considerable support, tremendous morale. They were able to make a lot of changes, to change the property system in China, change the ideology. They had a major impact, even could reform the written language, things like that. But four decades have gone by, and any new regime, any revolutionary regime, loses its momentum over time, loses the opportunity to make major change. And now 40 years have gone by, the society is stronger and the regime is weaker. And I think you can see it in several areas. They've tried to impose a collectivization on agriculture. They had to back up. We're back to family farming. They tried to regulate the population with a draconian one-child family policy. People have simply not gone along. It's 2.5 children per family. And in the area of ideology, they've tried to continue to impose Marxism-Leninism, which people have basically lost interest in, and people are advocating democracy. They have exhausted their reserve of momentum and goodwill, and resort to force is a real revelation of their bankruptcy.
Oh, I know you brought some letters from China that you received in the recent days, and I want to hear some of those, or at least some of that letter, to give us the flavor of what you were being told. But I know we have an update from CBS coming up in about 2 minutes from now, Denny, that will maybe give us some more new information as this thing develops hour to hour. But stay with us, and right after that update, we'll hear some of that letter.
All right, Rich, it's 79 degrees, partly sunny skies, and we will, as Rich said, hear an update from CBS News in just about 1.5 minutes from right now. It's 7:31.
China Update. I'm Vicki Kelly, CBS News. Tuesday morning now in China, and reports persist of divisions within the military between those who want to use force against the pro-democracy demonstrators and those who do not. CBS News producer Peter Schweitzer says the waiting game continues in Beijing.
All night long, there were reports of fighting among the different military units. Certainly, that's the major feeling here, that some kind of jockeying for power is going on involving the different military units who have different political allegiances. Shots were heard during the night. We had several areas staked out. We watched troops. We watched tanks. They watched. They were waiting. We all waited. We heard and saw no major skirmishes.
The State Department has described the situation as chaotic. Spokeswoman Margaret Tutwiler issued a warning to American students in Beijing.
To ensure the safety of American students in Beijing, the embassy is requesting that they leave their campuses and go to hotels in central Beijing. The embassy is attempting to facilitate the movement of students with embassy vehicles.
Some of the largest multinational companies in this country aren't taking any chances either. IBM and Chrysler have evacuated all non-Chinese employees.
This would
President
be a bad
Bush
time
says
for
it's
the
no
United-
longer business as usual with China. He has suspended all U.S. military sales to China, but he did not impose any economic sanctions or cut off diplomatic relations.
This would be a bad time for the United States to withdraw and pull back and leave them to the devices of a leadership that might decide to crack down further.
The president's moves have won widespread support on Capitol Hill, but it's not unanimous.
The massacre of these students is sufficient to suspend relations for a period of time. To encourage the students and send the strongest possible message to the hardliners in Beijing to change their ways and to change them quickly.
New Hampshire Senator Gordon Humphrey. China Update. I'm Vicki Kelly, CBS News, New York.
And this is WCCO Radio at 7:33 with 79 degrees. We're talking about the China crisis here in the studio tonight. Rich Holter is by my side, and our in-studio guest, you heard from Jimmy Ouyang, a former University of Minnesota graduate student, has joined us, along with Professor Ted Farmer, chair of the East Asian Studies Department at the University of Minnesota. Also in our studios now, Rich, who has just joined us, is Ji Cheng. Ji serves on the board of the Chinese Association at the University of Minnesota. Welcome, Ji.
Thank you.
CCO tonight. Any thoughts, Rich, on
well,
from
I think
you, our guest?
Before we get back to Ouyang and the letter that we promised everybody, we'll just look ahead a little bit to the next half hour. In addition to Ji Cheng joining us, we will hear from Robert Hall on the phone. His daughter, Ann Hall, goes to school in Beijing. And I talked to her brother, Jim Hall, of Minneapolis this afternoon, and he described how his sister had left the university and gone to downtown Beijing, just as the State Department is advising, to a Japanese hotel. But she found out that the hotel is closing as of tomorrow. She has a ticket, but she doesn't know how to get to the airport. And from what Jim Hall tells me, the State Department has not been of a great deal of help to the Halls in Edina. Robert Hall will be joining us also during this half hour to talk about the plight of Ann Hall in Beijing. And of course, we'll go on after 8 o'clock. Congressman Bill Frenzel will be joining us. And we'll talk, we'll also, I think, be taking some phone calls and letting our listeners get in a little bit on this conversation. But first of all, welcome to Ji Cheng and back to Ouyang. What about the letter now? When did you get it? And give us some of the flavor.
Well, the latest letter I get from is a lady called Han Hong. She studied at Shanghai University. She wrote to me. She said that today we can get any information from Beijing. We can only get information from the through the Voice of America. You know, students want a democracy, and they want the freedom. But what they got, martial law and a military crackdown. I'm very disappointed this things happen. And some, you know, my class students went out to demonstration and approved by the professor. That's amazing.
What I think we center on Beijing because that's where the bulk of the action took place that we had access to. But this is not limited to Beijing. It's all over China, isn't it?
Yeah, Shanghai, Changsha, Xi'an, and Guangzhou today, and some west rural area, Kunming, I heard today it happened too.
Your thoughts as you've been listening to what's happened today and what we're talking about tonight.
I was listening to first half of your show, and as Jim was describing the situation in Shanghai, this things has been changed. I was on the phone talking with people in Shanghai about 4:30 this afternoon, and in Shanghai, all the people have already known everything what's happening in Beijing, and all those copies of newspaper published in Hong Kong, Da Gong Bao and Ming Bao, and all those papers were copied and amplified and posted on the street, and especially those traffic booths, so everybody know that. And the student has already took control control of Shanghai, and they took over the transit system, used all the buses to block the major road and block the channel and through the yellow, the Huangpu River, and they have drove all the cars to the Jiading, another suburb of Shanghai, to block that incoming armies. And the whole Shanghai, actually, they didn't call a general strike, but it's in fact a general strike because there are no bus is running and nobody can get to work. And also I called somebody back in Beijing this afternoon too, and there's still a lot of shouting, gunfire, but the situation is updated news described, it's kind of another kind of waiting game. We had a long waiting game before this bloodshed, this bad weekend, but now we enter another stage of waiting game. And as all the news and source back in China told that 38th Army is taking some action against the 27th Army, and because all the Beijing University, all university students are supposed to have some military training, and the Beijing University usually sends their students to the 38th Army to train, to get the practical training, and so they used to have a very good relationship. And as we had some source saying, the commander of the 38th Army, his daughter is one of the hunger strikers. So it's not a surprise that some army will make some action towards these 27th Army, and they are responsible for the brutality, bloodshed for the weekend.
As I asked Wu Young earlier, were you surprised about what happened this weekend?
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm shocked. But I intend to disagree a little bit about Wu Young's idea. At this moment, I'm not seeing that it's a battle like, say, the whole party, the whole government towards the people. There's still only a portion of them. We are seeing that about 4 days ago, their news and also our source saying that all the Central Committee members were shipped to China, and they stay in different hotels. And it seems like the top leaders, Li Peng and Yang Shangkun, approached them and tried to reach some decision, but they couldn't reach a unanimous decision. And looks like now that they probably are highly divided, and they shipped all these members back to China. And it looks like some hardliner, especially President Yang Shangkun, tried to take some quick action and enforce this result on the rest of the government and rest of those party political bureau members, and force them to accept the fact. So at this moment, we're still seeing kind of situation like there is a possibility that Xiao Zhiyang and his follower could get up hand at this moment. And actually, in the situation that Shanghai was totally kind of in control of students, actually, and the military force in Shanghai is just doing something, defending the government's building and the mayor and those general secretary's house. And you know, in Shanghai, there are 2 million blue-collar workers, and they have like 1/6 of the whole country's total income. If Shanghai in this kind of situation for like 2 weeks, it's going to hurt government much more than those students on Tiananmen Square. And we also know that people in Wuhan, students in Wuhan, have cut the Yangtze River Bridge, which actually stopped the train traffic transportation from Beijing to Guangzhou. We call it Jinghan Railroad and Jingguang Railroad. And also, I have news from Nanjing and Shanghai. They actually have cut off the, we call it Jinghu, the from Beijing to Shanghai, the railroad transportation. They were trying to stop the troops, but actually they are also cutting off the whole economics. So that will be a very serious situation.
There can be no doubt about the determination of the people involved here. We look at the pictures we saw today of one protester standing in front of a column of 18 tanks and bringing the column to a halt and then climbing on a tank before he was pulled away by friends when it apparently became obvious that the tanks were about to move again. So the determination of those people in Beijing and elsewhere can't be questioned at this point. The question I have for all of you is, who gave the orders for this? Was this what we saw Saturday night and what we continue to see developing? Are these direct orders, or is it a case of the military going overboard?
No, it's a direct order. I think only Deng Xiaoping can, Deng Xiaoping have to give the green light to Mr. Jiang Shangkun, the President Jiang Shangkun. And we know this 27th Army used to be the army of the chief of the military staff, Zhi Haotian, the son-in-law of Jiang Shangkun. And it looks like this is a direct order from the top, but they didn't know the detail. And I don't think Deng Xiaoping probably really know what's going to happen over that weekend. And this situation get escalated a little bit. As our news saying, first off, when they approach from the west side, they open fire towards the sky, and then citizens and students throw some stone, and then they just randomly firing guns, machine gun and tank towards the students. And it looks like now not all the general, not all the military personnel agree that this kind of action. So it's not a decision made by the top government. And updated source tells us, well, we have our own source through China, and it looks like there are going to be a highly widely divided military portion, and probably we are, well, I still want to be optimistic, probably we will not see a civil war, because now what people are doing in these cities eventually could make them to think about that. Well, what people, students has done in Shanghai is much more effective than, I would say, President Bush. I'm not criticizing him. I think also that I agree Professor Farmer's idea that President Bush is, has done the right thing. Because at this moment, not real influence or any real significant impact that every foreign government, any foreign leader can have on the Chinese authority. So, and there's no good to isolate China again and pull out. And this is not the time that after the Korea War.
Well, we've seen what can happen when we do that to a country with Iran. And from our standpoint and from the people's standpoint in Iran, that isolation certainly hasn't helped anything. Denny, you have to take a break here. And I think what we'll do after this break is have our producer, Marianne Rettis, put in a call to Robert Hall of Edina, and maybe we can hear, he talked to his daughter earlier today, and we might learn something there.
All right, 16 minutes before 8 o'clock, 79 degrees, we'll be right back.